Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn, here on the MLW Radio Network, brought to you by our good friends over there at RussellZone.com, which is the world's most widely read internet news site on the planet. I'm Matt Kuhn, and Total Engagement is a show from one fan to other fans with other fans, and we do all kinds of different things here. Recently, we've had a This Week in Wrestling. We had a Crime in Wrestling about the death of Dino Bravo alongside JP Zarka from Pro Wrestling Stories. We did a little feature on David Benoit with an opinion piece. We talked about social media. We went back in time a little bit, talked about the Mexicools as well. Please support us here at Total Engagement, working every single day for you, trying to give you some cool content every day. And today is no exception. It is our first installment of the greatest angles of all time. And today's angle involves someone named Arn Anderson. Now, Arn Anderson's podcast just launched today, which is what gave me the idea. And that podcast, I mean, not that they need the plug, but I heard it today and it was fantastic. I really enjoyed hearing Arn tell the stories. And Conrad, I don't know if you notice, he just gets better and better at it. It's called The Arn Show. And I believe right now, if you go to arnshow.com, you can listen to it. And sometimes it takes a few days to get out on the other platforms, and they wanted to get that out to people as quickly as they could. So if you are having trouble finding your podcast platform, go head on over to arnshow.com, and you can listen to the first episode there, which is what gave me the idea to do this. Because it brought to mind one of the greatest angles I've ever seen, and one you might not know about. So maybe for some, it'll be a history lesson. For others, it'll be a reminder. But whatever it is, you'll hear it here on Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn. So today we are going to talk about one of the greatest angles of all time, at least in my estimation. And here's the reason why. Because we have been subjected to a lot of stop and start, make it up as we go along angles by WWE lately, the last 20 years, but recently, especially if you consider this Roman Reigns angle that's been taking place, that it's just been, okay, what do we do now? Okay, what do we do now? It's like season 3 of Lost, where they have no plan at the end. They're just kind of making up as they go along. And one indication of that is that Harper made his reappearance to massive applause at Clash of Champions. However, he wasn't called until Thursday. So the go-home show, having this angle, was on Tuesday. And they didn't know then for sure they were going to use Luke Harper. Which to me doesn't sound like a well-thought-out angle. So enough of that. Let me take you back to one of the first angles I ever saw. It might be the first full-scale angle I ever saw, and that is the debut of Arn Anderson. Now, Arn Anderson had debuted already as an Anderson and did some tag team matches, just not with Ole. And he left again the area, the Mid-Atlantic, Georgia area, and then came back. And when he came back, he did a promo, which they played on the Arn Anderson podcast with Conrad Thompson. It's a great promo. I don't want to duplicate it, so I'm not going to play it. But I encourage you to check it out. It's on Daily Motion. It's basically Arn Anderson giving one hell of a promo saying, y'all better get ready because the youngest Anderson is coming. It was very effective. The Anderson name had a lot of cachet because Lars and Gene were a tag team. Gene and Ole were a tag team. Of course, none of them were really related, and the only real Anderson was Gene. Ole was a good guy. Ole was a babyface. He was not only behind the scenes, you know, the booker, and he was one half of the babyface tag team champions, along with Thunderbolt Patterson. In that context, Arn Anderson, the brash, young, over-the-top heel, makes his debut.
Arn Anderson continued to hold on to the arm of Lee Ramsey. Very rough, rugged competitor, very, very muscular.
And you know what, I tell you, I look at Arn, it kind of stirs my heart a little bit. I tell you, the kid is pretty doggone good.
So it's already starting. Ole's a good guy, and he's watching this guy, kid beat the absolute shit out of somebody else. Like, he's really aggressively going after his arm. And instead of being like, whoa, 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 I'm a good guy, that's not cool, he's going, well, I'm kind of proud of him. I'm kind of enjoying this.
Arm, still with one thing in mind. Dude. And look, now look at that. Look at
now,
that.
Wait a minute. Now look at that. The thing that you should look at is this. That what he's doing is perfectly legal. He's got a count in there, and well.
So it's great. It's very subtle, but Ole is moving the goal lines as to what is acceptable or not in his ethical world, right? Because what's going on is that he is doing an illegal move, but Ole's like, no, it's legal as long as you get the five count. So Arn not only wins the match, but he breaks the kid's arm. His name's Lee Ramsey, that Arn is wrestling. He breaks his arm. Manny Fernandez, who's a good guy, comes in to check on this kid. And this is where Ole takes a little bit, just a little bit more of a turn.
Coming in. That's a raging bull coming in.
Is there a reason why he was there?
I have no idea.
And of course, while the raging bull, Manny Fernandez, is checking on this Lee Ramsey and his broken arm, Arn Anderson sees the guy in the ring and takes the opportunity to start beating him up. And instead of Ole going, wow, that was kind of a weak move, it was behind the back, he had a different take on it.
Not the right move for Mr. Well, he made a mistake.
No doubt about that, because Arn Anderson took care of him. Arn Anderson.
So not just a debut, but a very strong debut where he breaks the arm of someone and attacks the Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, who's a mid-card talent, and the seeds planted for Ole Anderson maybe to shift the way he's thinking a little bit, because, of course, blood is thicker than water, and certainly thicker than the tag team titles, the national tag team titles that he holds with Thunderbolt Patterson. So a week later, we have another match. Arn Anderson takes on another well-known enhancement talent for the Mid-Atlantic Georgia area at the time, which was Gene Ligon. Again, Shivani and Ole
on
commentary.
And I'm seeing that we wrestle a lot alike, too. I like the aggressive style. You know, in the past week, I had a couple of people come up to me and wanted to ask me about some of the comments, well, just like you did, that I've made. Well, everything that I say is predicated on the knowledge that I have about wrestling, and I would have to say that it's considerable. And in this case right here, I look at Arn Anderson, and I'm very pleasantly surprised, I'm very impressed, and I might say I'm kind of happy to see that he's in the family.
And there's a subtle change that takes place, as you just heard. Instead of just justifying what he did as winning and losing, Ole's starting to kind of burst with pride. You can't overstate how important Ole is to this whole thing. Ole is definitely the MVP of this whole angle, but Tony Schiavone as well, moving everything along.
Last time we saw Arn Anderson, he worked on the arm and eventually broke the arm of his opponent. Now it seems he's going a different approach. He hasn't really worked on the arm in this match.
Well, think about it. I'm sure a lot of people have already heard about Arn Anderson breaking the arm. Arn is switching because a lot of people said, watch the arm, watch the arm. Gene Ligon is watching the arm.
All of this that you're hearing is a lost art in wrestling today. Pretending it's real. Pretending, no matter how ridiculous it is, it's real. And we've always had to suspend the disbelief. So if you're thinking, well, it's changed so much, you can't pretend Orange Cassidy's real. Sure you can. You do your best. You explain it the way that you explain it. You never go, oh, what a show. You have to try to explain it's real, because the announcers and the performers, it is incumbent upon them to get the people in the audience to voluntarily suspend their disbelief. And the way that Ole's explaining, the way that Arn's changing his approach, it goes to the suspension of disbelief and pretending it's real.
Whoa, wow. There's something I haven't seen. The kid has really got a couple of moves. I hope we can take a look at that again, because Gene Ligon landed right smack on his face the way it looked to me.
Arn Anderson being Arn Anderson right away is a huge part of it. It's carrying himself in his promos, and in this case, it's carrying himself inside the ring, being very believable, but also busting out some moves you may not have seen before, and that was the Gourd Buster. That was Arn Anderson original, which you haven't seen it, is a suplex that isn't completed. He gets you vertical, and he slams you back down, and Ole's impressed. Tony's impressed, and Ole even says, wow. Listen to him right here.
Whoa, wow.
It's like he mutters it to himself. It's a really interesting thing, because backstage, Ole's kind of losing power, and he's going to be out of power pretty soon. The interesting thing on screen that's happening with Ole right now, and you can see it in these first two matches, is that Ole's, the character, is getting on board with Arn. But Ole, the real person, is getting on board with Arn too. And he's going, maybe, okay, well, dude, this kid's really good. Maybe we do have something here. And that brings us to the following week. And things start to kind of speed up a little bit now. Tony Schiavone and Ole Anderson are out there. Ole's wearing a suit, you know, because he's an announcer. And Tony says something like, we talked about Arn Anderson last week. Ole You said you didn't agree with his tactics. He said, hold on. I never said I didn't agree with his tactics. I said he's an Anderson, and that's what Andersons do, and maybe some people have a problem with it, but I don't have a problem with it because Andersons have always done that, and I have to include Arn in that list of Andersons. And what's funny is they watch the match again, the one we just talked about, and they both kind of remark on the Gourd Buster again, like, that was a fucking crazy move. And don't forget, Ole Anderson is national tag team champions with Thunderbolt Patterson. They're baby faces. They're good guys. Thunderbolt has seen enough. He's heard enough. He's coming out to have a conversation with his good partner, Ole Anderson.
Okay, we're joined at ringside by Thunderbolt Patterson.
Well, you know, I don't have very much to say. It's just, you know, you got to change your heart, it seems like. You know, I know this is blood is a little deeper than water and everything, and kin is run kind of deep and all, but... you know, it was a time when you didn't go for, you know, rough tactics like that. And just because he's your kin, you can't uphold what he's doing.
What about that?
I can understand him being a great wrestler.
Now, the body language here and the tone is really important. First of all, the body language of Thunderbolt Patterson is kind of reaching out to his friend, putting his hands out. And Ole Anderson's kind of stepping back, doing a little sigh, looking down and just going, God, this guy just doesn't get it. Or, you know, not really wanting to hear what he's got to say, or maybe wanting to do something he doesn't want to do, or maybe he's listening. You know, there's a lot of nuance in here, but Ole has a response. And keep in mind with this response, this is why people say, when Ole talked, I believed it. If you haven't seen the turn on Sting, and we should definitely do that one day, involving Ole, you'll never forget it. It's one of the greatest things you've ever seen in wrestling. And I argue, so is this. So what does Ole have to say for himself? He's a babyface who's now justifying these heel tactics, these strong arm tactics, just because it's his blood, and he's ignoring what he holds true. And his tag team partner, who he holds the championships with, is asking him, what's going on, dude?
You know, I've had some time to think. And you ought to know probably as well as anybody the things that have happened to me in my life in the past, what, year, 6 months, whatever it is. And I think you know that I've done what I could do. But frankly, I finally realized maybe it doesn't do any good. Maybe it's a waste of time.
Now, Ole's talking about that he's always been a heel. He's always been a bad guy. And this last year or so, he's been playing the good guy. He's been the tag team champ. And he's been a guy who gets the fans cheers and the fans are behind him. And he's doing things for the right reasons. Things were a lot more black and white back then as far as good guys and bad guys. And he's saying, maybe this isn't really who I am. And maybe Arn's reminding me of that.
I look at that kid and you're right. I see an Anderson. I see what it can be. I don't see what somebody else wants me to make it. I see what it can be for me. I can see what it might do for that kid. And if you really stop and think about it, Bolt, if you give it some time and reflect on it, you're looking at me right now. I feel like I'm going back in time. Well, maybe that's what we ought to do. Maybe that's what we got to do. Maybe that's what it has to be. Maybe it's got to go back in time. Because if I look at it honestly, I look at you and I look at Tommy Rich and I look at who? Dusty Rhodes. I look at this Magnum TA and I realize all of a sudden, like a light, when I see this kid, all of a sudden I realize, you know what, Ole, you've been a kind of a dummy. You know why? No, wait a minute. You know why?
A couple things here. Like I said, Arn has reminded him of who he really is. But at the same time, this is his tag team partner. It's his running buddy. But the Arn thing has kind of clicked some stuff in his head. And he's looking at these baby faces and he goes down the list of the baby faces and he says, you know, this is not me. I'm stupid to have done this because I'm running away from who I am. Now, Thunderbolt kind of looks away or he kind of does that, come on, man, whatever. And Ole's, no, listen to me. Listen to what I'm going to say right now. And you don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. He might just say, hey, maybe it's time we take a break, or hey, let's work this out. But that's not exactly what he says.
Because, Bolt, frankly, I've been carrying you. I've been carrying Tommy Rich. I've been carrying Dusty Rhodes. I've been carrying all of you. I've been carrying you. Don't shake your head.
Yeah. Are you going to be a liar?
No, I don't call it a liar. I realize I just wake up. No, wait a minute. Let me say something. They talk about, get that camera, and you say you look in a person's eyes, and you can tell whether they're giving you any garbage, BSing you, so they call it.
Yeah.
You take a look, and you're going to see in my eyes, you're going to see the truth. I'm going to just tell you right now, oh, don't worry, I'm not going to touch you. Not yet.
Now, Thunderbolt may not be that convincing when you listen to him, but when you see his body language, he is beyond shocked. When you're watching him and you're seeing him react, you believe Thunderbolt's hearing this for the first time. You believe Thunderbolt's coming to the realization of this for the first time. And you get the belief that he has no idea what's going to happen, that his partner's talking to him like this. And when you look at Ole, Ole is digging really deep to find the justification for this. I'm talking about in a creative form, not just as a character. You know, as a character, he's digging deep because he's saying, I'm really an Anderson. I want to be the way I was. And Arn reminds me who that is. But in a creative sense, the real Ole Anderson, who's also a booker in the area, is really making the best attempt ever at coming up with a believable reason for that self-justification that good, effective villains need. That is the thing Mick Foley talks about when he talks about Cape Fear, is that a bad guy always needs to believe that he's the good guy. And right now, Ole definitely believes he's the good guy. He believes he's been dragged down into this kind of pit of mediocrity where he's a good guy. And it's not him. Not only is it not him, but it's not pragmatic. It's not effective. And he feels used because he's been carrying all these guys. And now he's seeing the light. And let me tell you, when Ole does that move, he's like, look into my eyes. Bring the camera up here. See if I'm serious or not. You know, that's something Jake Roberts would do too. Always very effective. Always made you feel like what you're about to hear is going to be the true.
I'm going to tell you this. Today is a free day. Today is the day that you and I look at each other and I admit, nice guy that you were, whatever. But I helped you, you can't deny it. The days are over. I'm leaving. Next time I see you, I would suggest maybe you watch out.
Can you believe that?
And with that, Ole walks off. Oh, shit. It is on, or is it? Because he does kind of allude to the fact that there might be some good left in him. Nice guy and all that you are, whatever. But you have to admit, I carried you and all that. So he's kind of mincing words just a little bit. He's not 100% bad. He's giving him the day. You know, he's saying, okay, today we're not enemies, but next time maybe you watch out. These still are the co-holders of the tag team champions, the national tag team champions, which were like the Georgia equivalent at the time. And when he says, you better watch out, and he walks off, it reminds me of The Sopranos. When Tony Soprano comes in to talk to Junior in season one and tries to work out a disagreement, and then Junior looks at Tony at the end of it, he's like, next time, come in heavy or don't come in at all. And that's what it reminds me of. So you know things are escalating and the relationships are disintegrating. And that brings us here to the boiling point. And there's a lot of really cool, subtle stuff that happened here. I didn't even realize it until I watched it again just now. And I've watched it maybe once or twice in the last 5 or 10 years when I was doing research on a couple shows that may have had something to do with old wrestling. But there's some subtle stuff going on here. And what is it? First of all, a lot of us changed. We have the W World Championship Wrestling set now, the Turner set now. The previous sets were like this Georgia Championship Wrestling with a backdrop and a podium. Now we've got like this whole thing that we're used to, the David Crockett, Tony Schiavone thing. And what do we have? First of all, we have a flashback to what happened last week, which is, it seems Ole and Thunderbolt aren't on the same page. But you never know how things work out in a week. But we have a match today, and that match is versus Arn Anderson. So it's Arn Anderson's biggest test since he's been in this new area, and Ole comes out to the ringside area, well, the commentary area, which is about 3 feet away from the ringside area, to talk with Schiavone and David Crockett, and something funny happens. Check it out.
Ole, we talked about Arn and you resembling each other. It's really uncanny.
I don't think there should be anything uncanny about brothers resembling each other.
Come on, Arn!
Brothers?
Point there, yeah.
Your father and his father being brothers. Is that what you mean?
What I'm more concerned about is watching Anderson wrestles. What I'm more concerned
about. So I don't know if you caught that, but Tony goes, hey, you guys look alike. And Ollie's like, yeah, brothers do look alike. And Tony knows that the storyline canon is supposed to be that they're cousins. And, you know, Tony's like, don't you mean your father's brothers, Ollie? And Ollie's like, whatever, shut the fuck up. What I'm worried about, and then he goes on a thing about the feud with Manny Fernandez and Arn Anderson. It's funny that they didn't really get the story straight. I heard on the Arn Anderson podcast today with Conrad, Arn saying, they said we were brothers, they said we were cousins, they said we were uncle, nephew. But this is an example of them screwing up in the match itself. And the way that Ollie extricates himself is great. And there's a little something else here, because now Ollie's not in power any longer. I believe that's what's going on right now. So not only is he in this, you know, plot line, but he, behind the scenes, there's friction and stuff. So Ollie's probably like, I fucked it up. Fucking shut the fuck up. Who cares what the hell relation we are? So then Ollie goes down to ringside and just watches the match from close up. And I would like to play it for you. However, it's so frenetic, and David Crockett is so excited. And I remember at StarCast 2, I said, hey, man, I was a kid when you were broadcasting. I always loved how excited you were. And he goes, yeah, because that was real. That's how I felt. But just to give you a little dose of what that craziness sounded like, just for a second.
Anderson! Arn Anderson! Kicked him out of the ring!
So you get the point. Shit completely falls apart. Let me explain what happens, because it's pretty fucking great. Okay, so Arn and Manny Fernandez are wrapping this match up. Ollie has come down to the ring. We have never seen any interaction between Ollie and Arn at all at this point. This is the first real interaction we've seen them have on screen, as far as I know. Now, Manny Fernandez hits the double thrust, or as it was come to be known, the flying burrito. And wasn't my name. I'm just saying that was the name of it, you know. And Matthew, when we watched it, was like, it was not called the Flying Burrito. I go, yes, it was. So he hits his finisher and he goes for the pin, but Arn's leg, even though he's the bad guy, is legitimately under the rope. And Ollie points it out. He goes, hey, it's under the, you know, so he's justified in doing that. It's not a bad thing to do that. But meanwhile, Manny gets upset. So he had this thing won. And so he gets up to confront Ollie. Ollie is outside the ring. Manny's leaning against the ropes, yelling at him. And Arn gets up. He sees this. They're not really working in tandem. He just sees this and he takes advantage. He's in a match. He almost lost. He is a bad guy. So you would expect this from him. And he plants that patented Arn Anderson knee in the back. You know what I'm talking about. Like he uses the side of the knee, and Manny Fernandez tumbles out of the ring. So Ollie Anderson is standing there now with Manny Fernandez. Ollie Anderson's not a bad guy yet. He goes to pick him up. Now he picks him up kind of rough, but if you look at it, he's picking him up to throw him back in the ring. But Manny Fernandez responds to being picked up and punches Ollie Anderson. Now Ollie is justified in attacking Manny Fernandez in his mind. And Ollie and Arn do a beatdown. And David Crockett even says, it's the Ollie of old, but still justified. What has he done? In his mind, he's defended himself. He pointed out something that was wrong, and everything about being an Anderson, everything about being a sucker for these people is really coming to a head. But that's not the end of it.
And now, Thunderbolt Patterson. Patterson is in there. Let's go down to the ring with David. Come on.
That's right. Thunderbolt Patterson is down in the ring, but he's not there to fight. He's not really associated so much with Manny Fernandez, other than they're both good guys, right? And he comes out, he's kind of talking to Ollie, and he's kind of holding Ollie back, and it works. Ollie kind of calms down, and they even say, let's go down to David, right? We're going to have a little interview. So as Ollie and Thunderbolt, the tag team partners, the national tag team champs, who still have this vested interest, this history together, they're kind of cool. They're kind of hanging back, like Ollie's not pulling the trigger on anything. And then Arn Anderson, the brash Anderson, hits Thunderbolt in the back. Now, keep in mind, this is all taking place outside the ring, towards the front of the ring, the hard camera side. And it's with this view that we see Arn hit Thunderbolt Patterson in the back, and Thunderbolt falls into Ollie because Arn hits him. But then before Ollie has a chance to react, Arn pulls him off, starts beating him up, right? And Ollie's standing like 5 feet away, almost looking like he's deciding, like, dude, did Thunderbolt just hit me? Did he just run into me? Everything's kind of amped up right now. But he's still not doing anything because it's still his tag team partner. He still hasn't made any kind of huge decision. As Arn throws Thunderbolt in the ring and they start going at it. Now, not only is Ole not up against the ring, but he's about 5 feet away from the ring, but he's watching. And this whole time he's kind of hands to his sides, hunched over like he's pouncing, but also like he's calming down. And when Arn and Thunderbolt get in the ring, Arn starts beating him down for a short time, and then Thunderbolt started showing that babyface fire. Boom, 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 boom. And right then and there, Ole makes his decision. He grabs his partner from behind, holds his arms back so Arn could beat him, and the beatdown starts.
Hey! Oh my goodness, they have Thunderbolt in the ring! Hey, see Ole!
And Ole is now all in. And for the first time, you hear them called.
Arn Anderson and Ole Anderson! Start to pound away! A Thunderbolt Patterson! Manny Fernandez down on the floor!
But that's not enough, though, to get this feud going, to really make this angle complete. First of all, let me paint you a picture of a beatdown by the Andersons. It usually involved, at some point, Ole very, I don't want to say clumsily, but let's say crudely, going to the top rope and dropping a knee on the shoulder or the arm of his opponent and causing some kind of unspeakable damage to him. They've already done it once to Thunderbolt after he did a little comeback, and now they're going for the big move. They're going for a big move where Ole's going to go off the top rope. Where Ole's going to go off the top rope while Arn holds down his leg, they're going to break his leg. So Ole Anderson is now the Ole Anderson of old for sure. He is going to damage this guy. And blood is thicker than anything else. But at the very end, right when Ole's about to jump off the top rope.
Ole now, going up.
Manny Fernandez comes out of nowhere and throws his body on top of Thunderbolt Patterson, taking the blow from Ole and Arn. Because to me, it's kind of payback. It's like saying, okay, you help me out, I'm going to help you out. But at the same time, this creates the bond between Manny Fernandez and Thunderbolt Patterson, that they now can be the first feud for the Andersons, the Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
All the men, down on that mat. All right.
Okay, I just wanted to play that clip because David Crockett was out of breath, and I thought it was pretty funny because it was a very exciting angle. So what happens after this? Well, the National Tag Team Championship is vacated, and one half belongs to Ole and Arn. The other half belonged to Thunderbolt and Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and they would come up and do promos with the one belt. And then eventually they would face off in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Andersons would get their first of many tag team titles. And I offer this example in direct opposition to what's going on SmackDown with Roman Reigns and Eric Rowan and all that, where it's make it up as it goes. This was a plan. It took, what, 4 weeks to execute it? And now we have an elevation of Manny Fernandez. We have a hot tag team feud that could probably headline an arena in the South. And more importantly, we have the beginning of Arn Anderson. And the end of today's Total Engagement with Matt Kuhn. Thank you for listening. We have shows every single day. Do me a favor, go on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. Make sure to contact me on Twitter over at Matt Kuhn Music or for the show at Total Engage Show. I want to hear from you. Please do me a favor, subscribe on iTunes, download all the old episodes. They're only 10, 15 minutes apiece. And tell your friends, it's just one fan talking to some other fans on Total Engagement Daily with me, Matt Kuhn.